Hello, everybody, and welcome or welcome back to the Rigid Roosters podcast. My name is Cody.
And I'm Heather.
Nice to see you again.
It's been a while.
You know, we've actually physically been apart for the last, what, 6 months or something like that since we recorded last. We've just now getting a chance to sit down and record, so it's been wild.
Yeah, so we definitely didn't, like, ghost anybody, you know? Like, we promise we're coming back. We
just
kind of got hit by life
repeatedly
for a good while,
like full-on mushroom stamp to the face repeatedly. But
hey, listen, we're back. Yeah. And we've got some fun things we're going to talk about. I think we should pause before we go any further and do maybe a little reintroduction,
because people probably forgot who we are by now, right?
I would think so. Yeah. Or maybe they've never been and they're just curious about what this lifestyle thing is.
Yeah, could be.
Or people just like listening to two married people overshare, you know? Could be. Yeah. So Cody, why don't you start us off?
Okay, my name is Cody. I am not an alcoholic. No, I am 35 years old. I am pansexual, so I really am attracted to cast iron skillets. I am a swinger. I am full swap or soft swap, same room or different room, all of the rooms, all of the swaps. Yeah, I'm here for it. And we will explain what all of those words mean at some point in the future. But for now, just know that I like to party. Let's see.
I like to party.
I am a blue collar worker. I am a blue dot in a red state. I am very vocal on TikTok about politics and stuff.
Let's talk about your cool following there. How many?
I'm up to 80,000 followers, I think.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
For you screaming around on TikTok.
I mean, just for me getting pissed off about politics, you know, it attracts a lot of people, I guess.
I guess.
The link for my TikTok profile will be in the episode description, by the way. If you don't follow me yet and you want to,
then
check
it
out. Yeah. Heather, tell the lovely listeners/viewers about yourself.
Well, my name's Heather.
No shit.
I am 36. We are over in the Norman OKC area. I'm female. I go by, you know, she, her.
I didn't say my pronouns.
I know.
I'm a male. I go by he, him.
Because you never know. So, anyways.
Hey, wait, 1 second. Did you hear about the inclusive gold prospector?
No.
He found gold in them/their hills.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
All right, continue.
So, I'm a female. Told you my pronouns. I'm also an Aquarius, a February Aquarius. That needs to be said because we are elite. Two January Aquariuses. I'm just saying.
What
just
she means is she's a fucking handful is what she's saying.
You love it. Knock it off.
I do.
So my dynamic, did you give yours?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My dynamic is that I am bisexual, pansexual. I don't care what's in your pants. If we vibe, if we connect, if you can make me laugh, we're going to have fun. Even if I don't know what to do, we'll figure it out together. And it will be just a jolly old time. So pan, bi, whatever. I also lean a little bit more towards demisexual, which is another form of, there's so many of these things. Mm-hmm. It's just another label, really. But that one's more about like the connection between two people, that needing to be a big element for them to have sexual gratification.
Yeah.
So not huge on labels because we're just people, but for the sake of educating and bringing all this crap out in the middle of freaking Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Going to try to throw out some of these so that if you hear them or you have friends that say them or you hear a TV show that has them or, you know, whatever, you're going to be like, oh my God, I heard that on the show.
Yeah.
And so
I know what that means.
Yeah. I mean, at least I'm a dork, so I like being like that when I listen to podcasts and I'm like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
You know? So anywho, Cody mentioned that he's a swinger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm polyamorous. That ties into the demisexual.
And they are two different things.
We'll and they are two different things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being poly is different than swinging, and we'll get into we'll unpack that and get a little bit more into the meat there here in a bit. But Cody's definition, or Cody defines himself as a swinger, whereas I am definitely poly, meaning that I believe in love in all forms. It doesn't have to be sexual for it to be a relationship. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be romantic for there to be love and trust. It can be friends that are your ride or die. You know, look at Haley. Mm-hmm. She spends more than half her time over here with us. And while she's not a V hinge or a part of the, you know, dynamic in that way, mm-hmm. our kids wonder where she's at when she's not here. You know, yeah. I get lonely because I miss her, even if we're just sitting on the couch watching movies together. And I love how she and I can play off each other to goad you mm-hmm. and to tease you, and like how much we enjoy doing that. So
now when she says tease me, she both means tease me to get me all
hot and bothered,
antsy in my pantsy, and then also to very severely bully me.
You're such a big baby.
They're mean. Both of them are mean.
Such a big
baby. They abuse me, and I like it.
So, did you say we were married, and for how long?
I haven't.
Oh, my God. Are you ashamed?
I am.
Okay. So, we've been together for 14 years, married for 12, and a little over 5 that we've been in a lifestyle.
Yep.
You're also going to hear the term, I'm sure, ethically non-monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
Or E&M. It's catching on. You know, there's Netflix series about stuff. I know I've seen some on Roku, even on Hulu.
What's that one that's on Netflix right now? The Hunter's Wives?
Oh, yes.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We're only in, like, episode 3 of that, so we can't really judge a whole lot.
From everything that I've seen so far and everything that I've seen on TikTok, they are swingers.
That too. I mean, that was apparent in the first scene when he was in the hot tub with the two girls. I just was thinking back to when you said that it would make mine and Haley's panties wet, and we haven't got to that point yet. So
TikTok said that. I did not. I was relaying the message from TikTok. That's all that I was doing.
Okay. Well,
I wasn't trying to get you both naked at the same time. Wink, wink. I was absolutely trying to get you both naked at the same time.
That would never, ever happen or come from you. So, married, long time,
mm-hmm.
ethically non-monogamous. It basically, just to break it down, listen, I like, you know those whatever books for dummies? That is how I plan to be for you on this podcast. I have a bachelor's degree. I'm smart. I know I'm intellectual. It's not that. Cody will definitely take more of that role. He does that in real life too. And that's because I'm learning. I've got to be in a soft girl era for a whole lot longer than I really thought I was, where I don't have to worry about different things because it's something that he's already taken care of, or we're good. Like, so anyways, what we did was we opened up our marriage, but in ways that feel good to us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no sneaking around about things. There's no secrets. It's honest conversations, lots of trial and error.
Yeah.
Sometimes regret, but then figuring out how to come back from that.
And then how do we make that not feel like that the next time?
Yes. Right? Well, yeah. What can be done next time?
Yeah.
So lots of errors. Definitely aren't giving advice, so to speak, from me and Cody.
So this podcast is 100% just our experiences and our opinions, right? This is not relationship advice. We're not counselors. Mm-hmm. We will say, if there is a time where we're giving you advice, we will say, hey, this is some advice of things that we have tried and we know work, right? But this entire podcast is just our opinions and our experiences.
I mean, really, we're just talking, guys.
Yeah. And really, we want to share that with the world. There are a lot of people, especially, you know, you mentioned we're from Oklahoma. This is the reddest state that there is. And as such, anything outside of the standard Christian monogamous relationship is not viewed well in public. There are an overwhelming number of people in this state that are ethically non-monogamous, but they have to kind of keep that private because jobs are at risk, their friendships are at risk, mm-hmm. their families are at risk. Like people that you probably know, if you are monogamous and you're just listening to this, just to kind of get a feel for what we go through, people you probably know do participate in this lifestyle, but they have to keep it a secret. Mm-hmm. Now, Heather and I don't really have to do that.
We are lucky in that
aspect of it. So I work in an industry where even if people do listen to this podcast, nothing from this impacts my ability to go out and turn a wrench or, you know, make oil come up from underground. Like, it's that simple. I'm a blue-collar worker. As long as my hands work and my back is strong, we're good to go.
Yeah.
So,
And being a stay-at-home mom, I know I've subbed before, and there has been times, because we're open with our kiddos about what we're doing. Not the sexual side. They're young. They're 11 and 13. We're not idiots. We're not talking like that to anybody.
Yeah.
And the reason I have to point that out is because it was brought to our attention that some people thought that's what was happening.
Yeah, absolutely not. No. Like we share with our kids that, I'll explain it this way, okay? I don't believe in the word weird. Mm-hmm. I hate that word. I think it should be removed from the English language, and here's why. Normal is a word that is made up by old, rich, fucking white people to put us all in a box and tell us all how to act, right? It is a word that is made up by our society to keep us in that box and to keep us behaving well. I don't want to behave well. Correct. Okay. I only get probably 60 to 70 years. If I don't change my ways, maybe 40 to 50 years on this planet. I want to live. I want to live. Right. I'm not put here to behave well. I'm not put here to follow the rules, fucking pay taxes and die. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck all that. No, I want to live and I want to experience life. And I want to teach my kids to live and experience life and to know that just because something is different from their standard, their usual, that doesn't make it weird. Mm-hmm. Right. That means that it's something new for them to learn about rather than something for them to be scared of or to mock. Right.
Correct.
That's the biggest thing that I want here is just for people to know, like, hey, weird doesn't exist. Weird is not a thing. Weird is, again, a word made up by old, rich, white fucks to keep you in a box. Don't let them keep you in the box. There you go. I'm off my soapbox now.
Kudos, kudos. Clap, 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 clap. Thanks for coming to his TED Talk. So what was the last thing I said that warranted
I don't know.
Talk.
I don't know, to be honest with you.
You really went with it and ran, so now I'm trying to.
Well, it was something that I don't know. It's that
something about the kids keeping them.
We don't share our the sexual side of things.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously we are not sharing that with the kids.
Yeah.
Like, I have had someone come to me with that concern, like, hey, you're not sharing, they don't need to know about this. Like, obviously they don't need to know about that.
Yes.
And we're not sharing any of that with them.
Yeah.
We're exposing them to realities outside of what is shown in Oklahoma, and that window of things that is shown in Oklahoma is fucking shrinking, and I don't want that to happen for them. I want them to live a full life, and I want them to learn as much as they can about every fucking thing that they can.
Yeah.
And if we just present them what Oklahoma wants them to see, then they are going to go into the world thinking that, you know, God made the Remington rifle in 1936 and he invented it to kill the dinosaurs. So we're not doing that.
That's oddly specific.
Yeah. But we're not doing that. So, no, we're not sharing the sexual side of things. We do talk to our kids about sex. We want them to have a sex education. Mm-hmm. We want them to know what it is, what can come from it, what they shouldn't do, things like that. But they're one's a teenager, one's a preteen. We're not going to go into the gritty details of all this shit. We're not going to overly explain, like, hey, you should get her in this position, throw one leg up here. Like,
Jesus.
That's fucking stupid. If you're thinking that,
you're stupid.
You need to reevaluate
how you
look at things.
You are.
So,
yes, the only thing I could think of when I do sub or have been a sub, mm-hmm. Is if, like, teachers knew about it because I was Facebook friends or Insta friends or wherever.
Yeah.
And I was actually never met with anything hateful. I'm sure there were things happening, you know, behind the doors. But to my face, it was always, if they had a question, ask me.
Right.
I will totally talk about it because I'm not doing anything wrong and I don't feel like I'm doing anything wrong.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing. Like, we will happily answer a question at any time.
If we don't know it, we will go look for it.
Yeah.
Like,
that's one of my biggest things that has been with my the family and friends that I had before coming out like this. A lot of it was questions that were never asked to me, right? Or never asked to you and me, never asked to me. Yeah. It was questions and concerns that were being brought up, but they were never brought to me. Mm-hmm. If you have a question about what I'm doing or a concern about what we're doing, bring it to me. We will address it. We will discuss it, and we will see what the best course of option is.
And we're not going to, that's the craziest thing. We're not going to bite your head off.
No.
That's because, not what we're here for.
Yeah, this is obviously something that is not in that box, right? It's not in that box that we're all used to. So, yeah, people are going to have concerns. People are going to have questions. We would love to answer those questions. We would love to explain why we are doing the things that we're doing, and that's the reason we have this podcast.
Yes.
Right? So
normalizing it a little bit for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
So that would be the only thing, like, where I see where others are not out.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Where I subbed before had been there for forever. Long time parent, long time homeroom parent, volunteer, mm-hmm. you name it. So I had also developed relationships with the teachers that had taught my students or had taught my kiddos, but also when I was subbing for their classes. So it was really cool to be able to talk to some of them about different cultural things. One of the ladies, one of the teachers, Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm.
And she was explaining how it looked for a woman to have two people from her, from what they are. Yeah. It's nothing for men to have more than one woman or one wife.
Yeah.
Nobody bats an eye about it. But at this time, we were in a relationship, I, Heather, was in a relationship with a clown. And then I also am married to Cody. So It was not, I don't want to say fun. It was definitely an interesting take, learning like the different takes on how that mm-hmm. works out. So basically in Puerto Rico, I'm a motherfucking pimp. You know what I'm saying? I'm just throwing it out there. It's what it sounds like.
So this is a lifestyle podcast, right? It is a, and that's in our podcast description is we are a lifestyle podcast. What does lifestyle mean?
Well, it means a lot of things. Lifestyle is pretty much an umbrella, if you ask me. And you'll hear that term used a lot because it touches very many things.
Yeah.
It can be used to describe all kinds of different marriages or relationships. I'm sorry. It doesn't even have to be marriages. We're going to talk more about swinging because of Cody and his and what he's gone through. Maybe some fun stories there. Poly for me, we've got fun. We've got the good, bad, and ugly for that, for sure. But it also involves kink, open relationships.
And when she says kink, like BDSM,
yes.
All BDSM is the easiest one to think of, but there are so many kink communities out there.
So many.
And if you watch those or go and actually talk to people from those communities and learn about that, that's some really cool stuff. It's very interesting, to say the least. A lot of different dynamics, different relationship dynamics and things like that inside that kink community that I never expected. You know, I thought it was all just whips and chains and that's it. That was my preconceived notion sure. going into it. But then actually getting to go to these events and talk to these people and learn everything about it, I'm like, man, this is...
It's eye-opening.
It is a very large world outside mm-hmm. of our box.
Yes.
Right? It is a huge world out there and it is so awesome to learn about everyone that's in it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All of the difference, the different things that make us tick. I really, really enjoy that.
I agree. So it looks different for every couple.
Mm-hmm.
What works for us might not work for you.
Yeah.
That's the beauty and the chaos of being in a lifestyle.
Right.
It's fine tuned to what you want it to be.
Exactly.
It's going to only be as successful as you make it.
Yeah.
And I think there are, I mean, not even, I don't think. It's known. I mean, there are people out there that are claiming to want this thing, but they're lying and sneaking, or their partner doesn't know,
right,
or whatever.
Or they're using it to try to fix something.
Yes. Right?
And that, this is advice. You cannot use the lifestyle to fix a broken relationship. No. It won't happen. It will only make it worse.
And we're not kidding. When we talk about in previous episodes how close it has brought us, being since we opened up and started doing the podcast. I'm losing that train of thought. There was a good thought there.
There was nothing wrong with us whenever we decided to
yes,
explore this, right? There were no issues. We were very happy. It was just a...
It was a different kind.
It was, we've heard about this, and why don't we try it?
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about it? Let's look into it a little bit more and let's explore it.
Because we explored it we researched it.
We researched it. We like talked a bunch about of it.
Goofy nerds.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, with us researching it and talking about it, my TikTok was full of it.
Yeah.
And it was like, man, this is. We kept. At first, the reaction was, there's no way we could possibly ever do this, right? Because of jealousy, because of all this. And then as we kept digging into it, as we kept watching the TikToks, as we kept, you know, reading the articles and things, it was like, no, we totally could.
Yeah.
We can totally do this. And then
everybody has to be on the same page,
right?
And we have to be able to communicate.
We got into it and we have been successful, but it has not been without its negative times, sure, right? There have been bad times
on both parts, yeah, on both sides.
And there has been hurt feelings. There has been, you know, knockdown, drag out fights. I mean, yeah, it's a normal relationship, right? But not.
Yeah.
You know, it's, we have our arguments. We have our times that I fuck up. You have your times that you fuck up. We have times where we've got to come together and discuss this shit. And sometimes we don't like doing that, but we do it anyways. And sometimes we might cuss and we might scream and it might get heated. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we always come together and we figure out a way to fix our shit. Right. And that's the reason that we are successful. It's correct, not that, you know, this was just some magical fit that just worked for us, right? No, it's a journey. It's a learning experience, and it's something that we constantly discuss. We have to be constantly checking in on one another, figuring out where our heads are at, where our private parts are at, different things like that. We have to maintain that communication in order to make this work. So with that, you know, I mentioned that we need to check in on each other, right? Mm-hmm. So in previous episodes, we have always started with this, and I want to do that again in this season. You'll notice that this is labeled Season 2, Episode 1. It's because this is the new season of the Rigid Roosters. We want to have a new lease on life. We want to have new content to bring you guys, and we want to bring you a new perspective. So that's what we're going to do. In this new season, we're going to do the same thing, though. We are going to start with a mental health check-in for both of us. Keeping your finger on your partner's pulse is incredibly important, guys. Not just physically, but mentally as well. And this is whether you are monogamous, non-monogamous, whatever it is. Check on your people. You know, make sure that you know what's going on inside the brain of the people you love. Because the happiest, smilingest people that you know are often not that happy and smiley on the inside. Right? So, check on them.
Yep.
So, with that being said, Heather, how's your brain?
It's there. Yeah. No. It's really, how long? It's been like 6 months since we've not.
Yeah, it's been, it was April, no, March when the last one came out.
Wow. Yeah, so it's been a while. So, obviously, we'll have some things that we get to talk about and go further into.
Yeah.
As of today, right this very second, as far as maybe this week goes, it's been good.
Yeah.
School started back up, getting into the hustle and bustle of that. Both kiddos are in sports now. Little sister in scouts as well. So we thought we were busy last year.
It's busy.
I'm it's busy, super busy. Duper busy now. Mm-hmm. But I still find time to make sure that I'm checking in on the people that I consider partners, or we share a different kind of relationship. It's more than just friends. It's less than being a boyfriend, girlfriend, or a spouse, or whatever that label might be. But they've made their own category. And so
right.
I've got, you know, just a couple that I check on them and they check on me. And so that's where that goes. So I've got, there's good people around me, boys and girls, or men and women, sorry.
Men's and women's.
Like I'm grateful for that. There has been some things that have happened that have been sad. I think one of the last things we talked about was a check-in on how things were going with me and dating and being on Tinder and all of that. So we can get into the full meat of that later. But, you know, that does count. That came with good, happy things, but also things that have not been great. And then life happening, not just for us and our situation, but also for partners going through their own struggles. So emotions have actually, I mean, I'm good. I don't feel like anything's like upsetting me or wrong. I just wish that I had magic powers to help the people that need it more than we do, more than I need it right now.
Yeah.
And that's a struggle for me, not feeling like I'm enough because I can't give them something to pull them back out.
Right.
But short of that, because being an empathetic person, I feel those waves a lot. So, I'm not going to say it's hunky-dory every day, but it's not a bad, it's a good day every day.
As long as you feel happy at some point every day, that's what's important.
And right? I spend most of my time in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Even with the sad stuff, like, I try, humor's always been a go-to. So, that has been an avenue that I've gotten better at. I can totally be a comedian, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But it's been good. I can't complain. It's busy. I love it. I'm glad we're back into the flow of things. I'm ready for us to be on a schedule.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's, what about you? You talk about it.
So, I'm doing good. I went into a pretty deep depressive episode, the past few months. And we can dig into that later if you want to. But I got on the right medication. I got on the right dosage of medication, and it's been getting a lot better. There are a lot brighter days now, for sure. One thing that I have been dealing with, and that I will most likely continue to deal with, is insecurities. Right? Any partner of a polyamorous person can tell you that you are going to have insecurities whenever they get into a relationship and whenever they are ending a relationship, right? Getting into a relationship, the new relationship energy, different things like that, different experiences that that you would like to have that aren't happening or something like that, you'll have those insecurities. And then when the relationship ends, it's, well, you know, I'm still here. You know, am I enough? You know, things like that. So I've been, you know, trying to use the rational side of my brain a lot more here the past few weeks, for sure. Just trying to remind myself that, you know, a lot of what I am thinking and a lot of those insecurities, they are my own, right? They're inside me. They are the result of what we call brain bullies, you know? So I've got to remind myself that, hey, this isn't necessarily real. Like, yes, what I'm feeling is real, right? But the reason that I'm feeling it is not, you know, it's not that, you love me any less. It's not that I'm not enough. It's not that you're unattracted to me now and all of this. That's not real, right? Correct. So I have to remind myself of that. While I do let myself feel these feelings, I also have to feel those in order to know that, hey, that's an insecurity. I know what it is. I know where to put it now, right? So I've been kind of trying to explore that, trying to deal with that in a head-on manner a lot more than I have been trying to bury it. And I think that that is a good thing, for sure. I've also been able to be in the gym a lot more, and I've been able to, you know, focus my workouts a lot more. I'm happy to report that I am at a weight that has been my goal weight since I was a freshman in high school. That's incredible. It's an incredible accomplishment for me. I put up a TikTok the other day. I put it up on Facebook, a comparison between me, I think it was about 8 years ago, and then a picture from just the other day. And I don't often see my own progress. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm looking in a mirror, I don't see the guy that you guys see, right? I see the guy that was there 8 years ago. But when I put the two pictures side by side, holy shit, I can see it, right? And that, this was just a couple of days ago, but it was a very self-proud moment, right? I realized that everything that I had been putting in is coming to fruition, right? All of the work is paying off. So now I'm focused on building on it, right? I have the foundation laid. I'm where I want to be with my body. I'm where I want to be with my mind. Now I want to build on it. So it's a new season for me in the gym. It's a new season for us in the podcast. It's a new season for us in life. So it's going to be fun.
Excellent. Excellent discussion. I'm glad that you're starting to feel yourself. I totally relate to you on not seeing what others see. I mean, I still fight you every time you try to say something nice. Mm-hmm. But you for sure are showing some real results. And I want you to know that. I know it feels good to hear it. And I want to make sure you know that while I'm not super into like the veins popping out of your arm, mm-hmm. I am very much into the confidence that you have from the said veins.
Yeah. Well, because she's talking about, I've got, My forearms are very vascular and they just stay that way now. That's something that I have not had since probably ever, actually. I've always kind of wanted that look. I've always, wanted the muscular, the built look. Never had it. And now I do.
Yeah.
And, that vascularity shows me I do have that look. I do have that a little bit leaner, a little bit more muscle look. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been wanting to work for and then working for my entire life.
Yeah.
And that's when I look down and I flex and I just, I do that. That's accomplishment to me. You know what I mean?
I do. I love it. It's awesome to watch your confidence grow.
Thank you, baby.
And yourself. Yeah. So I think we can, start moving to our next little segment that we want to talk about.
Yeah.
Swinging versus polyamory. Okay. So, let's talk about the differences between swinging and polyamory,
mm-hmm.
Because people really do kind of toss those words around like they're the same thing, but they're not.
Yeah.
they're really not.
No.
Why don't you start with the swinging and what your idea of that is, and then I'll come in with mine.
So swinging to me is one, communication. Two, a little bit of planning, but a lot more. Three, fly by the seat of your pants, right? It is going to a club party, seeing someone that you might not have ever met before and taking them to a playroom and having an experience with them and some random stranger that just happened to walk into the room at the same time. That is swinging, right?
Yes.
It is the ability to be sexually active with more people than just your spouse.
You can kind of think of it as like an adult recess. You play hard,
yeah.
You go home and you take a good night's sleep, you know, like
exactly. Get me a juice box and some cartoons and hey,
I'm out like a light.
Yeah. But it's, the biggest part of it for me is honesty, right? I have to be honest about what my intentions are with not only Heather, but also with play partners, right? Because I don't want a relationship. I don't want to build this into anything more than being friends and repeat play partners, as long as they enjoy it as well, right? So being upfront and honest about that, being honest with Heather about, hey, I'm talking to this girl and these are some things that we've discussed. Hey, I might see this person at this event. Would you be cool with us doing something? Different things like that. Just saying, hey, I might have sex with this other person. Are you cool with it? You know what I mean? But it is a lot more, I would say less stressful than polyamory.
Oh, sure.
And yeah, because like I said, there's not a lot of planning involved with it. It's, yeah.
I saw a meme that was like, people in polyamorous relationships are actually people with kinks.
Scheduling kinks.
Yeah.
For sure. And that's what it is. Like you have to schedule a large chunk of your life around two different people at least, or more. Right. So to me, I don't know that I could do that. I admire you for being able to do it, but I don't know that I could, And that's where things get muddled with me, right?
Sure.
So, but with swinging, I don't have to do that. It's, hey, I'm, you know, I might go see this person on a Friday night if I'm on days off. You cool with me dipping out for just a little bit after the kids go to bed, and then I'll be back before you fall asleep, you know, things like that. So it's a little bit easier to me, but it's also, I don't necessarily have to have the connection that you do.
Correct.
Right. That's why this is, that's why I'm able to identify just as a swinger. I don't have to have the relationship built first before things can happen. I don't even need to know someone's name, to be completely honest with you. But that being said, I do like repeat play partners. I do like building friendships and getting to know people on a personal level and building relationships that way. So when I say I don't want a relationship, I don't mean I don't want friends. I love having these friends that I can talk to every day. You know, all of our amazing friends that we've made so far, and we will make more as time goes on. And that's a cool feeling. So I want that, just not quite the boyfriend-girlfriend stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not quite romance.
Totally.
So now that I've explained swinging, you explain polyamory.
Okay. Kind of piggybacking.
Piggybacking, yeah.
Okay, piggybacking off of the adult recess kind of comment for my brain, for my listeners that are squirrel-brained like me. Adult recess is really accurate, but with polyamory, it's a whole different level. It's not just playtime, like...
You got to add in homework, you got to add in textbooks, you got to add in reading assignments.
Yeah, you're adding more to your classroom.
Yeah.
So... For me, polyamory means being able to love who you want freely and openly. You're able to have multiple loves, multiple relationships. It's about building connections. That's really what gets my gears going anyway, is the other stuff behind the inside stuff. It makes it more real. It makes it more, I don't know. Not, I don't want to say interesting, but I don't know. It makes it more than just sex.
Yeah.
So...
Now, our definitions of these two terms are not going to be the same as everyone else's, because we don't have a manual that says this is the definition for this, this is the definition for this, right? There is a book that is out there that is about the closest thing that we consider to a manual, but it's not a catch-all, this is everything to do with the lifestyle. You want to talk a little bit about that book, just so everybody knows about it?
We can. I totally am down for that. I had a question though for you.
Okay.
Because I'm gonna finish kind of what I was gonna say as far as polyamory goes. That it doesn't have to be spouses or partners. It doesn't have to be romantic or sexual relationships. Friendships to me can be the same way.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned Taylee earlier and how she's here all the time and how, you know, how she's fit into our life and how that just, it's perfect. It works great for us. But I know a lot of people, not only did they misconstrue what swinging with polyamory and saying, oh, it's just okay. It's okay for you guys to cheat. No, I'm really building. I'm trying to build a connection with you or with whoever it is. But friendships are, I mean, Cody, my best friends probably know a little bit more about me than even you do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, no, I'm not romantically or sexually involved with them, but we are heavily connected through spirit, through the friendship we've built, through the connection, through vibes, whatever. And so I like to make that point super clear, because I believe soulmates, I don't believe in one soulmate. I believe that it's love is infinite. And it comes in different ways.
Yeah.
So that's one of my, like, I don't want to say a trigger point, but when people start throwing it together, don't be ignorant.
Yeah.
ask the questions. Don't assume that everything means the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You
said you had a question for me, though?
I did. I've got to remember my question. What was the question? Okay.
Yes, I will have sex with you tonight.
I hate you. Let's do, okay. Do you have anybody that you consider an unofficial partner? Like a friend that has privileges, without the marriage license so much?
I mean, if we're being honest, the closest thing would probably be Haley. Just because she is super close with both of us. Mm-hmm. We do play every now and then. I don't know if she wants me sharing that, but I'm going to. we do play every now and then. You know, and her and I plan a lot of things about you, parties for you, birthday celebrations, anniversary celebrations, things
they
like
love
that.
Me.
And it's just that would be the closest thing that I could think is probably her.
Okay, that's fair. I can agree with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm tight though with others too. So like I mentioned, having those not weird, but the middle relationships where it's more than just a casual, hey, how you doing, acquaintance, mm-hmm. but it's not my boyfriend or my husband or my wife or my girlfriend. There's some.
And see, those are hard for me to do because of the way that I am interacting with people digitally, mm-hmm. right? If we're in person and I can see you a lot in person, we will build that, right? Like with Haley, for mm-hmm. instance. But digitally, it's a lot harder for me because I have a battery, right? I only have so many things that I can concentrate on in a day. If I'm at work, I will rarely touch Snapchat. Facebook, I'll get on every now and then just to scroll through, but it's not something that I use a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. Messenger, same way. Text, I will try to get back to you, but you're really the only person that I will damn sure make sure I'm dropping whatever I'm doing and I'm getting back to you. Everyone else, you're taking space in my battery, right? I've got to save my battery for this 14-hour shift that I'm about to do and that's going to kick my ass, you know? So with that, and then with you throw in depression on top of it, it's hard for me to build those outside of our core people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like I said, if we see each other in person and we get the chance to hang out and talk and build that there, yeah, we will build that. But otherwise, it's hard for me to build those kinds of relationships. You know?
Okay. I mean, I think that goes more into the swinger things because what you're saying, a relationship that I can, two relationships that I consider pretty big ones in my life, outside of you, mm-hmm. it is on the phone. I, you know, one person carves out time to give me a call every day. If it's not every day, I'm still getting texts. Prior to that, it would be FaceTime. And we were really just doing, you know, the ADHD. What is that? Oh my God. I just lost the title that I was going for.
Coexisting together.
Oh my God. Like when you're in a room, like sometimes when I'm cleaning and I just want you in there, like mm-hmm. I don't want you to clean cause you're not going to do it right. But if you're in there, it'll keep me going.
No, like called like anchoring or something like that.
I can't remember. Oh my gosh. I'm so annoyed.
There are so many terms.
There's so many labels. But that was something, I mean, we were on the phone, like that person was working, that day and then I'd be cleaning the house or doing laundry or whatever I was doing. But I was getting crap done, as was this other person, because we were body doubling there for each other. I also think where your battery runs out or whatever, how you explain you quit talking like that. I think I'm the Energizer Bunny.
You refill everybody's battery?
I try to, and I know that's the thing I have to work on for myself too.
But I would describe your personality as electric, right? You do electrify people. You electrify situations. You brighten a room just by walking into it. You know, everybody says that goofy bullshit at funerals, right? Don't let anybody say that at mine because it's not true. But you do. You do brighten up a room when you walk into it. So, yeah, you are the Energizer Bunny. That fits totally.
You just say that because you like me.
No.
Yes.
No. It's because it's the truth. Ask anybody, listeners, send us a message. If you know Heather, send her a message and tell her that I'm telling the fucking truth and she should stop arguing with me. And that she should get naked.
Oh, my Lanta. So, yes, I think, for me, that part of what you say takes up too much of your spoon is a big part of
my spoon.
Well, you said spoon earlier.
I don't know when I did say spoon.
You said it before battery because I wondered why you changed your analogy.
Why did I say spoon?
Because you don't have enough spoons.
I don't think I said spoon, baby.
I can't wait for you to replay this.
I'm going to replay it.
And I know.
You're going to sit there and listen to it with me and see that I never said spoons.
You 1,000% did, because that's why I looked at you crazy when you went to battery. I'm like, man, we're all over the place with these the analogies today.
Listen, it's late at night. I'm tired.
It's late at night. It's 9:30.
We're fucking old. It's actually 10:30.
Oh, well, I don't feel like it's 9:30. And you're effing old.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know that I am not. The kids will even tell you that. They know Dad's younger than me, but he's an old man.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got different friends that are like that too. I'm just a bebopping through life kind of gal. I finger gunned you guys.
AKA the Energizer Bunny.
Whatevs. So for me, that's a big part of it.
I'm right.
I wouldn't know if I go that far, but definitely. I mean, that's a big difference that I had never really thought of before you said it, how you don't have enough spoons to cover extra people sometimes, or that your battery is running low.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those analogies work.
Especially the one that I said about the battery.
I can't wait for you to listen to this. Oh, my Lanta. Okay. I'm losing my train of thought. You got me all discombobbled.
Because you were thinking about me saying spoons and it never happened.
It freaking
So let's talk about this book. You know, we said there's not an instruction manual for this stuff, but there is a book that's very close to it. So what is the name of the book and who wrote it?
Cutting me off the legs. I had another question for you.
Okay. What's your other question for me?
And for our viewers.
Okay.
Okay.
By the way, we do want this to be an interactive thing.
Yes.
We do definitely want to hear from you.
We are back because one person in our group that we're growing tighter with, that we're becoming close to, could not stop raving about it and talking about how it reflects her relationship and talks about the different things that like they've talked about. And she was so amped. It got her husband amped, and then we talked about it at the last little party we got to go to down in Roland, Oklahoma. It was them being so excited to have that it like sparked it back up in me, and it got me bringing it back to Cody to say, I think we should do this. Not just for them, obviously, or for just the viewers, but because it did keep us close. It did keep us
It gives us
grounded,
a chance to hash out a lot of shit.
Yeah.
There are times where we will be halfway through an episode and something will come up and it will press a button or it will trigger something that we didn't know needed to be triggered. But we will stop the episode. We'll take the time to talk with one another, work through whatever issue has just come up, and then go back to our discussion. That doesn't really get the chance to happen without us sitting here and having these conversations.
Because we have to be intentional about it.
Yeah.
And I think this is the best time for us to do it.
This is us being intentional about talking about this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, we of course have always kept up the, hey, this is my plan for this. Are you cool with this?
Yeah.
Where's your head at? Are you, you know, do we understand each other? But really talking about these past experiences, about maybe some of our things that we're not quite sure we're against, but we might be leaning a little bit away from, right? Or things that we might be leaning towards that we're not quite sure that we're for yet. We get the chance to hash all that out on this podcast. Moreover, though, we want your opinions as well, right? So if you will look in the episode description, go right now and look. There is an email address linked in there. That is our email address. That any email that you send there will come directly to me and Heather. And when you get a response from that, it will be from one of us. We don't have a social media team. No. Heather is our social media team, 100%. She will be the one getting back to you. So questions, if you want to share stories, if you have concerns, any of that.
And it can remain anonymous. I know your email is going to have, I mean, typically is like the person's name.
Yeah.
But if you don't want us to say like, oh, my friend Haley, for instance, since we've said her name 1,000 times, we won't.
That's and typically if we're going to use your story or your question on the podcast, we're going to make sure it's okay with you in writing first.
Yes.
Right. Just for legal reasons, we have to do that. Right. So even if it's just an email chain back and forth saying, hey, You know, I really like this question. Do you mind if we use that and pose that to more people or pose that to each other on the podcast? And we'll get your consent that way. So, you know, if you want to remain anonymous, just tell us, hey, I want to remain anonymous, but I have this, and we will make it so. We'll make it happen.
We want to, I mean, like I said, it's something that fuels me is having people interact with us or telling us like, oh my God, this just happened.
Yeah.
What would you have done or whatever?
Yeah.
I just think it's cool. So here's where I am with the listeners and you.
Okay.
So my question is, I mean, I think I kind of know what is going to be scarier for you. So I guess maybe it's more for our listeners.
Okay.
To you, which one sounds scarier?
Mm-hmm.
A night of play with a stranger or building another relationship alongside your marriage?
I mean, of course, building another relationship.
Yeah. Right?
Like the night of play, it excites me. I really enjoy those, you know. And for instance, there was one that happened this year. I mean, I won't say recently, but it happened this year. Or well, within the last 12 months, we'll say. Anyways, went to the playroom with this girl. And while we were in there, I had my eye on another girl literally all night long. Gorgeous. I was about it, right? She comes into the playroom to join us as me and the other girl were in here. And like any guy will tell you, if you had all the money in the world, what would you do? The answer is going to be two chicks at the same time. Like they're always going to say that. So having both of them in the room, that was a really cool experience. I think I remember one of them's name. The other one, I have no idea who she was.
Is it Cindy Lou Who?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Okay. Our Pocahontas babe?
No.
Oh.
No. Yeah, she was a goth Latina.
Oh, so somebody. Oh, yeah, okay. I remember now.
Yeah,
so, we didn't know who she was.
Yeah, so I still don't know who she was. But
she was all up in it, yeah.
That experience was fucking awesome.
And that was something, because, okay, let's mention that part, because I was sitting out in the, like, in the dance floor fellowship area. Mm-hmm. I say fellowship probably because I've been at the Girl Scouts for church lately. but you know,
everybody was out there reading their Bibles.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I mean, everybody was screaming God at one point. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I have those two. That was something that happened to Cody that I didn't necessarily know was happening. Mm. I had already given quote unquote permission, or he had already kind of talked and checked in with me about one person. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hell yeah, go get your dick sucked. Because that's something else that's cool with me and Cody. And I think is also another reason why we can do this and talk about it without bringing up weird feelings is not to be so super corny. Oops. But we're friends. I mean, we're best friends. Like, we talk about this. It's like we can take ourselves out of being husband and wife, and we can be friends with it.
And see, I stay in the husband and wife.
Well, I don't know. I think it all depends.
No, but I'm not knocking what you're saying, but it depends on what you take out of the lifestyle, right? For me, one of my kinks, I have a hot wife kink, right? So whenever it's my wife telling me about the experiences she's had, that gets my motors firing on all cylinders, right? So, and then being able to tell my wife, hey, I was just in a room doing this with this girl, and then this other girl walked in, and being able to share that experience with her is fucking amazing,
right? I love it. Well, and there's been other times where you started with one, and then there was a friend come in and it get excited, and I was watching.
But the one where you didn't know it was going to happen, like anyone would be, coming out of that playroom to tell you about it, I was nervous.
Sure.
Right? Because we hadn't discussed it at all.
Rightfully so, I feel like.
But in that same vein, there are going to be things happen that you're not prepared for or that you haven't discussed, right? So you have to be ready to make a judgment call. Like, would my partner be okay with this? Mm-hmm. Would I be able to immediately go out and tell them, hey, I know we didn't talk about this, but this just happened. And would they be okay with it? That right then, I made the snap call, probably because my
dick was hard now.
Really, really hard. I made the call that you'd be all right with it, and you were.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you what happened, and you cheered for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, when things like that happen, we say, you know, open, honest communication, planning, and the big part there is the communication, right? Mm-hmm. Immediately after it happened, I came out, I you know, wiped the sweat off of me, and I said, hey, just so you know, this just happened. You know, I wasn't planning on it, but this is what happened. And like I said, she stood up and cheered for me. So
and cool. I think I'm pretty sure I made some of the other friends I was like snuggled up into on the couch.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh my God, guess what? Yeah.
That was cool.
I mean, it's just, you're always my husband. I don't mean that.
I know that, but like where you're thinking of it as, you know, more like we bro out, for me, it brings us together on a deeper level where we can have these conversations with each other. One, because your experiences fuel my kink, right? Because I'll, you know, even sitting here talking about it now.
Oh my God.
But two, you know, being able to share the experiences I have with you and know that you are going to hype me up, that I don't have to be nervous to come to you and say, hey, you know, I just did this, you know, because we've talked about most of what I'm going to be doing. If it's something we haven't talked about, most of the time, if I'm doing it, I know that I can come to you and say, hey, this just happened.
Sure.
You know, oh my God. Well,
and I like that we're able to, like we find out every now and then that there's somebody causing drama.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky for us, lucky and unlucky that we're 2.5 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
That's the lucky part. The unlucky part being that, like,
we are
2.5 hours away. And we've definitely made a family out there.
Yeah. There is one that I am hardcore crushing on that lives even farther past the 2 hours away. And,
oh,
yeah. Okay. She's told me before, like, I'm going to try to make it. I'm like, we just need to move to fucking Arkansas.
She's going to make it on a time you don't get to go.
Probably. A time that I don't get to be there. That's one of the times you're going to get brave and go into the playroom, and then you're going to tell me all about it, and I'm going to be pissed off and super horny at the same time.
Oh, like this much pissed off. Yeah. Like a smidge.
A smidgen. Yeah.
But yeah, so I just wanted to make sure you understood. I wasn't.
Oh yeah, no, I totally understand.
I mean, it's probably just the dumbed down version of what you're saying exactly, but for me, I call it bro out.
Yeah.
Again, that's what, I mean, I'm just not super girly girl about some of those terms.
No, yeah.
And, grew up with a lot of guys.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we're saying basically the same thing.
Sure, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
So, swinging versus polyamory.
Neither. Oh, no, but back to your question. So I was saying that, you know, the night in the playroom with somebody is not frightening to me. That's exciting. But when I think about the amount of work and time and effort that you have to put into building a romantic relationship with somebody in order to give them what they need, that scares the shit out of me, right? Because I don't think... I work very hard to make sure that I'm a good husband. I want to be the best husband that I can possibly be. So I want you to know 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, that you are my number one priority, right? Mm-hmm. The thought of adding somebody else into that mix scares me because, one, then I would have to divide that time, and two, they would also know that they are not my number one priority, and I don't feel like that's fair to anybody else. I actually feel like it's kind of shitty of me to do, right? Now, what you are going to say is you don't view people as priorities, right? You don't have a hierarchy, and that's fine. I do, mm-hmm. right? So therein lies the difference, why I can't do the romantic polyamorous relationships, you know,
because it wouldn't be fair.
And I agree with you. We have our friends, like, for all intents and purposes, I am polyamorous with Haley.
Yeah.
I am polyamorous with all of our friends that we have, right? But romantically, you're it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you know,
like I said, it's like the scheme between where I'm saying, like, a labeled person, mm-hmm. husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever.
Yeah.
Acquaintance that you hang out with or see every now and again. There's that middle ground where there's just, that's a special place for people that kind of fit into both categories, and that allows for you to have that friendship built mm-hmm. and continue to build, and then you get to fuck each other. Yeah. Like, that's my part of it. Like, I have, right now there's really only one that I don't even know if he really knows that he's on the roster, but we check in on each other, not every day, not every week, but we do, you know, we keep in touch, mm-hmm. and if the mood strikes and the schedule allows for it, we totally go to hook up, you know, I mean, like, that's just what we do, and like, that is okay with me, but that's also because we built enough of a connection through texting,
yeah,
or calling each other or whatever, that it wasn't like one night with me. Like, you know what I'm saying? It changed it from being just a sexy experience or just spicy times to something that's
to now you have
holding it more connect, making a bigger connection with that person.
You have a friend that you can go and get naked with.
Yes. And know that it's okay.
I like that part, right? That part I'm 100% down for. You know what I mean? It's just anything past that I don't have the bandwidth for. You know what I mean? I don't have the spoons for.
I'm telling you, you freaking said it.
So we had we have segments planned out, right? We have the previous episodes we've been doing, we haven't had a script. We haven't had segments planned. We haven't really had anything other than
we want to give you real.
Yeah, we're gonna sit down and we're gonna start talking about this. So Heather has been working literally all day on an episode plan for tonight, and she did a really good job. Oh. The only problem is I have derailed us a little bit with conversation, so we're not going to be able to get to the whole thing. So I think, in my opinion, we mentioned the book. The book is called The Ethical Slut by who?
The book is called Ethical Slut. It's by, oh my God, why do you do that to me? It's by Dossie Easton and Janet Hardy.
Okay, so homework for our listeners. I want you to go read this book. I'm going to go read this book because I haven't read it, right?
It's like at least a couple, you know, at least a couple chapters in.
Heather has told me some stuff about it that I really think, yeah, I mean, this is as close to the way that we're living things as I can see, right? So, I think next episode want to start diving in a little bit more there.
Okay.
But you had another segment planned out before we close out.
Yeah. Which, so we finished our segment with the swinging polyamory.
Right.
And we have the question, what would be scarier for you? We pose that to our listeners as well. And I want to know because I don't know. I don't think thinking about the question for myself, both are going to be exciting. Yeah. I like the challenge in both of those aspects. It's just, it takes me a little bit more to get just a random one-nighter.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it's got to be like for the stars have aligned. And
yeah, for you, going in and having just a random encounter is a lot more daunting than building that relationship where it's the opposite for me, right?
Yeah.
So what did you have after the introduction of that book? Because we are this season going to dive into that book and talk about different parts of it and how you can apply it to your relationships, your life, your lifestyle, to make things work for you. But I don't think we have the time for it in this episode.
Which is crazy because we were worried that we wouldn't have enough time.
Yeah, so exactly.
I love that we've got to bounce it off each other a couple times. I also want to note, like, yes, I'm like the type between type A and type B, where there are things that I need routine. I need structure. I have ADHD and my squirrel brain, the squirrel is supposed to be driving the train and I've got like 27 things and nuts are flying everywhere and squirrels are, you know, they're getting run over. Mm-hmm. Like it's always just go, go, go in my brain. So I don't want you guys to think that we're not going to be real and be us in it. For me, really, it's making sure I stay on task.
Yeah. Because you can go and listen to the previous episodes, and in literally every one of them, we're having to get back on topic.
Yeah.
And in every single episode, you'll ask me, what was I saying? Or where was I going with that?
And I still did it this time, but I was able to go back and be like,
oh. You were able to look down and say, hey, this is where we were at. Yes. So this is still not scripted, guys. This is still raw, 100% us. All that it is we have the building blocks of what our episode is going to be, right? We have our segments planned out. We have things that we want to talk about, and we have a little bit more of a flow to our episodes instead of just us bouncing shit off one another. And I think that's going to work out really well. I think it's going to bring you a lot more quality content rather than just kind of random conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, the random conversations are great. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. We'll still have that.
Yeah. We're still going to have that, but they'll be structured. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So what was the last segment that you wanted to
do? I think it was just a fun little, like, listener gather up kind of thing. So as far as, because I don't want to go into, like, my questions for the segments or, like, the parts of the book, if we're going to skip past that right now. So, Cody, you talk for just a second while I find what I'm looking for.
So while she's doing that, I have been toying with the idea of actually doing another podcast on top of this one. I think that one is just going to be me, because I want to dig into what being a blue dot in a very red state means, what it looks like.
So you want to do stuff with politics?
I do. I really do, because I have a platform, TikTok, where I can speak out about some of the things that are going on. Okay. And it's really my responsibility to talk about those things. I made the decision long ago to dip my toe into that political side of things and start talking about it. Now that I've done that, I have an obligation where I have to talk about these things, right? So for anybody else that's out there wanting to be active and lend their voice to whatever cause you might have, I just want to explain kind of what that looks like on a day-to-day basis as a blue dot in a red state, okay, as a blue dot in a very red industry.
I mean, you know, that is something I don't have a lot to offer as far, yeah, as that, but that could totally be a segment where I'm doing the ethical slut and trying to break that down for both of us, for mm-hmm. me and you, for our listeners.
I just know that you don't get into politics like I do, and I know that, you know, it's really, I keep up with everything so that I can let you know, yeah, exactly what's going on, right?
You know, hence the soft girl era.
Yeah. While I don't recommend that, I'm happy to do that for you. You know what I mean?
I know.
But so that's why I'm thinking, like, really, I can just take that one on my own and dig into it. I'm still toying with the idea. I'm not 100% sure yet.
Because isn't that kind of what you're doing on Facebook or TikTok already?
It is, but it would give me more. On TikTok, I have to not only make sure that I'm saying the right things, I have to keep it inside of a time constraint. I can't mention certain words. I have to make sure that I look okay, right? I have to worry about my appearance. I have to worry about the right lighting. I have to worry about all this. In a podcast format, I don't have to do any of that. I can get on here. I can say exactly what I need to say with the research on my screen to back up what I'm saying. That's another benefit of doing it over TikTok, is TikTok, I can't see that, right? Mm-hmm. I can have it in my mind. I can know what I just looked at, but I don't have it in front of me. Right. If I'm doing it on a computer, I can have my other computer right here with all of this research pulled up saying, hey, this is exactly what's going on. This is this situation that just happened. This is this one. These are all my sources. I can list my sources in the podcast notes. That way it is coming to you informed. It mm-hmm. is bringing you exactly what is happening instead of just, hey, I heard about this from
so and such,
from this video or from this corner of the internet. No, it's this is exactly my source. This is where this is coming from. This is what is happening, and this is what we need to do to fight it, you know. So I'm thinking about it. I'm not 100% sure yet. I'm not real sold on the idea, but it is something that I'm thinking about. So I will keep you all updated with whether or not I'm going to do that in the near future. So, did you find what you were looking for?
Yeah, I was just letting you go. So, it's a mini segment, just something silly and funny. It's going to be WWSD.
Okay.
What would a slut do?
Okay.
Okay, so first question, Cody and listeners.
Okay.
It's a scenario.
Okay.
We're at a Mardi Gras party.
Right.
Okay. We're already just half dressed. Basically, mm-hmm. you know, tits out. Someone asks to give you head for exchange of beads or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You never met them. You don't know who they are. You've mm-hmm. not seen them in our groups, like our online groups. Total stranger.
Okay.
In every aspect. But,
so I give them beads. They give me head.
Yes. Right?
That's the
yes. negotiation. But if somebody you have absolutely, I mean, like you've never seen even on like the Facebook groups.
Okay.
Complete stranger.
Okay.
Are you gonna
what am I doing in that situation?
Uh-huh.
For me, I'm going to show them the rest of the beads that I have and negotiate for more than just head.
Okay.
if I'm being honest, okay, that's what I'm gonna try to do.
That's fair. For that one, complete stranger. No, thank you.
Okay.
And that's because, listen, like I've had crush and I've told you like, oh my gosh, I think he's so handsome. And then like, we might start talking for a little bit and then drama happens and they're not what I need. And it's just like, dang, I have no real good judgment of people because I I see their nice stuff before the ugly comes in, you know? So that's a hard no, especially if I had never seen them post in like the groups that we're a part of.
Yeah.
You're a ghost to me. So no, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, for me, and this is going to be the same for a lot of males, I think, there is nothing that will boost your ego more than some girl coming up to you and telling you, "I want to put your dick in my mouth." Like that's a huge fucking pump to our ego. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to negotiate for more.
Okay.
But at the very least, I'm going to give her some beads to, you know, put my dick in her mouth. So.
I got it. I like the negotiation. You were definitely a slut. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Another one. One more. We're at a white party.
Okay.
A party that we were all dressed in white. Mm-hmm. I don't want that to come out any other way. We were in...
Do we have our pointy hoods on?
Or? I mean, like, shit. Listen, I was in booty shorts and, like, a big old t-shirt. I was not... That's what I meant. It is a party where we're all dressed up in white, non-white, champagne-y colors. Okay. So that's what we're at. That's the kind of party. Okay. That's the vibe. Mm-hmm. So we're in the club, okay? They ask if they can join, or if you can join the girl and like a husband.
Okay.
What's the slut going to do?
They want me to join in with them?
Yeah.
I'm going to come find you. I'm going to go find the lube and condoms if she wants them, and I'm going to go join them.
Okay.
Yeah. Who am I to deny someone their fantasies? I mean, that's...
Oh, Lord have mercy.
But no, I have been in that situation before, and it was so goddamn much fun.
With our super smarty pants nurses?
Yes.
That we're talking about? Okay.
Yeah, that was one of my more fun nights at the club. I really, really enjoyed that, and I can't wait for it to happen again.
Story time. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised he hasn't mentioned it, especially since we just brought that up, was the said time that he just spoke of. I watched. I cheered. I stood in the corner and went,
No. You hang on.
Listen, I'm not done. No,
I am going to say this first. The whole time, Heather didn't know what an Eiffel Tower was. We had to explain to her what an Eiffel Tower was. So the whole time, the husband and I are trying to get in position and get ready to do this. When we get into position and get ready to do this, Heather is not in the fucking room with us. So we can't show her. She can't see it. And... Now you may continue.
To be fair, they started out with them just getting head and like playing with each other. And so it was like, it looked like somebody had come. And so I was like, oh, show's over, you know, like whatever. Being high, being drunk, knowing I needed food in my belly to help level me out. I left the room because I was like, way to go, guys. And went in search of some pretzels and pepperonis and cheese.
There was a whole nother show after her high ass left.
I did not know they were going to rally so fast.
We had the wife very occupied, right? But me and the husband were like, where the fuck did she go? Because we're trying to put on this show not only for his wife, but for you as well. And I know. Nope, she was gone. Gone to get snacks. And then she was out on the couch just... Happy and vibing. And
I was happy and vibing, but I had seen a friend that looked down, so I went over to make sure things were okay, because it's one of my special friends, you know, to make sure things were good, and got distracted there, because I would have gotten snacks and gone right back to you, probably.
Yeah.
I probably would have even snuck, like, a pretzel or two, so I could watch it, like, I'm eating popcorn at a movie, okay? Yeah. But that's where I didn't come back for that, is because I saw that person.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely one of those, yeah, I'm saying it proud. You know, like the buddy bench, somebody sitting there by themselves and they need a friend. I'm totally going to come up and talk to you.
Yeah, that's
and
a
it
great
was,
thing.
It was that same vibe. You could tell that something had gone on or something was off, something was wrong. So plopped down on his lap, talked about it. And then that was when y'all came out and started giving me shit for leaving because of snacks. So they've not let me live that one down. None of them.
But to answer the question again, I mean, if someone comes to me and says, hey, we would love for you to join us. Now, there has to be an attraction, right?
Okay. So not just everybody.
It can't be just everybody.
Okay.
Right. Because I have to make sure that my stuff is going to work, right? If I'm going to be part of a show, I want to put on a show.
Yeah.
Right. I want to make sure that I am giving the husband and the wife, whoever is getting the most attention, I want to be able to make sure that it is a memorable experience for them.
Correct, yeah.
If the attraction is not there, then I'm not going to perform as well, right? And let's be honest with each other, we're not always everyone's cup of tea.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I know that I am not, and I know that I'm not attracted to everybody, right? Y'all make the joke a lot that my standards are, you know, ground floor, but to be honest with you, there is, I have to be attracted.
Sure.
You know, and so that's my disclaimer, right? If you come to me and I turn you down, the only reason is because it's not because I don't want to get to know you. It's not because I don't want to be a part of it. It's that I don't feel that I could give you the experience that you're wanting.
Sure.
Out of that, right? I want it to be memorable for you. I want it to be fucking awesome for you. And even though I may not be sexually attracted to you, I want it to be amazing for you, right? So it may not be me, but there's somebody else that will, right? Yeah. So don't take it personal. That's the biggest thing that I have learned. Don't take rejection personal. It's nothing personal.
It is,
it's
something just, you deal with, though.
Yeah, it's definitely something you deal with.
100%.
Oh, yeah, a lot. But the thing is, you can't let it get to you. You can't take it to heart. You just have to realize we're not everybody's cup of tea, and that's totally fine. You know, there are people that are going to be attracted to you. There are people that are not. Totally fine. That is great. So
Kesha's song, Yippee-ki-yay, it's a line actually about being everybody's favorite. I am, so
well, it's because
it negates what you just said.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Okay, well, that was it. So we've got your slut moves. Oh, how I would answer that. That has happened to me a handful of times with different couples, but they only just like ask and talk to me. They don't like coerce me to go towards that way. And then I get all scared. And then how you're talking about giving good performances and crap. You know I love showing off. You know I love doing
it. I think, though, if somebody were to grab your hand and say, come on, we're doing this, I think that would put you in a space where you would be able to perform.
Probably.
Because I've seen it happen, right? With, you remember at the club, the first time we went to the club in Oklahoma City, the friend that we were there with,
yes,
you were not going to do anything that night. She grabbed you by the hand and said, come on, let's go. And I went and found you in one of the playrooms, and she had her head between your thighs.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, if someone comes up and grabs you by the hand and says, come on, we're doing this, I think it's going to put you in a space where you can't. But the same thing with me, there has to be an attraction, right?
Well, and I'm going to go even further for me, you know, that little asterisk that's like, actually, again, if you're a stranger and we've not talked even on Facebook,
right,
you can try, but I will say no. And if I'm at Karma, if I'm at that place, it's like my party home away from party home. And I know I'm taken care of there.
Yeah.
And I know that some of my special friends,
I
know with everything that I am, wouldn't let me get hurt or whatever. So I would.
But if you've talked about this with a couple or with someone, you've talked about this with a potential partner, with you, if you've made plans and you're like, hey, at this party, I would like for something to happen, and you come to that agreement and you say that, if they come to you and say, hey, or, you know, do you want to do this tonight? Unless you say no, that's what they're going to have to do. If you say no, then no. No means no. Every time, in any situation, no, absolutely 1,000% means no. If you say yes, however, they're going to have to take the lead.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just your personality. And that's totally fine. There's nothing at all wrong with that. You're shy. As much as you are outgoing and bubbly and friendly, sexually, you're shy. And that's fine. It's just, you know, you have to be warmed up, put in the moment. You know what I mean? So there's your second bit of advice from me for the episode. If those people are listening to our podcast, if you have agreed to it and you have said yes, then they're going to have to take the lead and make it happen for you. So.
And I have to tell them that not just who I'm thinking of, like anybody is like, oh man, I wish we would have blah, blah, blah. Why didn't you come get me? Like, not because I really don't, since like my 20s, wait, when did I break my ankle? That was my 30th, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So since my 30th birthday, Oh my God, it sounds so much worse. I don't get super over intoxicated, and I'm still new to pot. So like I might get over high with an edible or something, but for the most part, I like to keep just a happy buzz or a shade past it. I don't like.
But Allison really hasn't come out since you're 30, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And Allison being one of my slutty alter egos when I'm drinking.
And she does. God, she does some crazy stuff.
Oh, man.
Allison's a bad girl.
God, now you got me thinking. So, come and get me. Like, I mean, listen to what Cody's saying. I will not make the first move.
If you've made the agreement.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right.
And they know, I think anybody listen, I mean, like any of our friends that are listening and know that I'm interested. Hopefully this is what pushes them over the edge to be like, hey,
right,
we're doing this.
And that's my intent, right?
Yeah.
But I know that we also have listeners that don't know us at all.
Sure.
I know that we have listeners that aren't even in the same state, the same country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to make sure that everybody knows that whoever you are talking to, whatever situation you're in, no always means no, but consent in some, yeah, consent is king. In some instances, you're going to have to take the lead though. You know, you can't wait for everybody to come to you all the time.
Yeah.
Right. You are a prize for sure. So people should come to you in the same,
you're sweet on me.
In the same hand though, if you want something to happen,
I also have to,
you have to go take the initiative, right? Mm-hmm. It's a give and take at all times, right? So as much as I'm saying, yes, these people are going to have to come get you, make sure that you take the initiative sometimes, but also make sure that you know your worth. Mm-hmm. You are letting people come to you as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah, and that was more for the listeners than
For you, for me. Right? No, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Totally. Nope, I got it. So you've looked at me a couple of times, so I know we've talked too much. So here's us, married, in the lifestyle, somewhere between poly, swinging, and still figuring it out like the rest of you guys.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
And I don't think we'll ever have it all figured out, but that's part of the fun of it, right?
That's part of, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. Here for it.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, I will ask you this every single episode. Do you have anything else that you would like to share with our lovely listeners?
You always do ask me.
I always do, and I always will.
Nope. We're going to come to you next week or whenever we get this decided to go out so that we can start talking about the ethical slut and hopefully breaking that down for some of our listeners that don't like to read or maybe just want the general summary of
what... Just like the cliff notes.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Are those still a thing?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It didn't even come to my brain until you said it. So
now half these little shits are using like AI overview of everything.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Motherfuckers have got it easy now.
You're such a big baby. Okay, we better end it here.
All right. Well, until next time, remember to love yourself because we love you. Okay, thanks. Bye.